All right, here we go. 710 ESPN, Mesa in Ireland. John, I will start off here and watched a lot of basketball over the weekend, and I came across some phrases that make me crazy from play-by-play announcers.
Oh,
now,
good.
I will not identify the play-by-play announcer who said these things.
Okay.
But these are the ones that bother me. Ice water in his veins. That is just flat-out cliche at this point, isn't it?
Except, you know, that's D'Angelo Russell's bit. He points to his veins.
D'Angelo Russell has not been spotted in the playoffs.
He was in the draft lottery three nights ago. He represented Minnesota in the draft lottery.
Yes, the playoffs, not the drawing.
Yeah, I never say it, but it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you.
Okay. Whenever there's a rivalry game, it's expect the unexpected. Total hackety hack cliche.
I think worse than that is throw the records out.
Oh, throw the record books out. That's a terrible one.
Yeah, that's
a terrible one.
That to me is like the ultimate hack line.
And then the worst, John. This is the absolute worst. This should be banned. There should be an NBA rule passed. Score the basketball.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. I never understood that. What else would you do with the basketball?
You just score. You don't score the basketball. You just score.
It's two completely unnecessary words.
He's such a great scorer, or he really knows how to score the basketball. Score the basketball makes no sense. John, why don't you drop it in there one time tonight so we can play it back tomorrow? Just give us one bad cliche.
One of those three?
Yes.
All right, give it to me. Give me the three again.
Okay, the three are expect the unexpected,
okay,
ice water in his veins, or score the basketball.
Okay, I'm writing them down. Expect the unexpected, ice water in veins, score the basketball.
Yeah, those are the three.
Okay.
Those are the three.
All right, I'll work on that for
you. All right, cool. It's to you.
All right. Mace, we have another announcer who is in trouble because of an insensitive comment.
Uh-oh.
Hockey announcer Mike Milbury was removed from the air Friday after he said something. You tell me whether or not he deserved it. All right. Milbury was talking about the hockey bubble in Canada when his partner John Forslund said this, quote, "If you think about it, it's a terrific environment with regards to if you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place." End quote. Milbury replied, quote, "Not even any women here to disrupt your concentration." End quote. NBC took Milbury off the air, then issued a statement saying they were, quote, "disappointed about Mike's insensitive comment and have addressed it with him." Milbury later said, "It was not my intention to disrespect anyone. I was trying to be irreverent, and it took a step too far. It was a regrettable mistake that I take seriously," end quote. Did Milbury deserve to be removed for saying, "not even any women here to disrupt your concentration"?
No, that is such a minor, minor, minor infraction. I can't believe anything was said. Let's all get offended. Can we all just work up
hold on.
Let's all be offended.
Lindsay, you're the only woman on this show. Is that comment worthy of taking that guy off the air?
Yeah, because why do women have to be a distraction? There can't be women reporters there. There can't be women that are parts of teams. Like, all women have to be a distraction. I totally see why people are pissed about it.
You really do.
If you were Lindsay,
along with every other woman on the planet, if you looked on social media or read an article about it,
But Lindsay, if you were running NBC, would you have taken him off the air for that? Is that comment worth? Didn't they make it a bigger story?
Yeah, because it's not the first time that he said something like that.
Now that's true.
Okay, what else did he say?
No,
give me the background on this.
No. Well, it would take way too long. But
really, there are that many offenses?
It is a pattern.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's different if it's a pattern.
He uses Lindsay, tell me if I'm saying this right. He uses the feminine gender to make fun of men pretty regularly.
Yep.
Like he'll say to the goalie, that guy needs to put a skirt on if he can't play in this period.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. See, that's totally wrong. totally wrong. You didn't give me the whole context. In the whole context,
but he
if it's
did
something,
that other stuff when he was a coach.
But if he has said stuff like that, and if at any point his broadcast, NBC has said, "Hey, dude, lighten up on that stuff. That doesn't fly." He may be breaking sort of an internal rule at NBC. If it's part of a long pattern, then I can see why they would take him off the air. I don't think he should lose his job.
I don't think he's going to. I think.
Well, you think it's even if there wasn't any other context, like you think it's okay just to assume that all women are a distraction? Like, what? How do you think the women that like work for NHL teams or like are sideline announcers or reporters or whatever? How do you think they feel about that comment?
Lindsay, here's how I would counter that. He's doing, how long does an NHL game last?
3 hours.
3 hours. Anytime you are winging it for 3 hours, sometimes things come out in an imprecise way. He didn't use a racial slur. He didn't use an epithet. He didn't use foul language. Did he step over a line? Yeah, I guess. But I don't imagine that that's a reason for termination. Do you?
Lindsay, I would come down in the middle of you and Steve. I would say it is something that he should apologize for, but I wouldn't have taken him off the air. It sounds like you might consider removing him, or at least getting somebody else in that job, true?
There's so many other qualified people who can do that job way better and not make sexist remarks on a regular basis.
Huh. All right, interesting. There you go.
It's not like he's irreplaceable. He's not.
Right. That's what we were talking about last week with the gay slur that's probably going to cost Tom Brenneman his job. When Kobe said the exact same word, Kobe is irreplaceable.
Yeah, but he did get a $100,000 fine.
Correct, but Tom Brenneman isn't.
So the Reds aren't firing him.
By the way, 76ers have fired coach Brett Brown after seven seasons.
All right, so it's time for you to take a loss there, Steve Mason.
On?
The process now is officially over. It didn't work. The process, like you kept saying, process is great. They got Ben Simmons. They got Joel Embiid. They can't win.
Yeah, they blew it. They blew their picks. They blew their picks. I mean, I don't know what the series would have looked like with Ben Simmons. I still don't think they were any threat to go to the finals. But I think at this point you've got to say they chose the wrong. Well, you know, it's weird.
Elton Brand.
Who's the guy? Sam Hinkie.
Correct.
He did all the tanking. And then he left all those picks for Elton Brand and Brian Colangelo. They're the ones that blew the picks. Sam Hinkie didn't blow the picks.
Well, that's part of, if you institute the process, which is code for we're going to lose as many games as possible in order to improve our draft standing, you really do need to stick with the original guy. You have to have full faith in him, because if you blow it up, it's like I heard somebody today say, it's like building a house and changing the contractor. You're going to get a completely different house all three times. You know, this is their third GM as the quote-unquote process started. They really either needed to marry themselves to Hinkie or not let him start it in the first place.
Yeah.
And today is another end result of the losing.
To me.
Yep.
All right. Over the weekend, matchup between the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers. And in that game, in game three, Montrezl Harrell called Luka Doncic a bitch-ass white boy. John, how great, and they've since apologized, but how great an offense is this?
Michael and I talked a lot about this over the weekend. And Michael pointed out that had the situation been reversed,
yep,
had Lucas said that to Montrez and you changed the white to black,
yep,
it would have been an international incident and Luka probably would have had to be suspended.
Yes.
So there begs a question here. Should you treat this offense equally because a black guy said it?
Yep.
It's a very hard question to answer. I'll try. I think you let Montrezl Harrell apologize for it. He did personally to Luka.
He did.
And then I would fine him, but I would not suspend him. I think that Black Lives Matter is a very specific movement addressing the fact that black lives aren't respected, especially by law enforcement, in a lot of cities in this country.
Yes.
The same issue does not exist for white people. For that reason, I don't think you should conflate the two issues. I know people are going to come back at me with, hey, Ireland, you got to be consistent. If you're not going to let, if Luca couldn't have said it, then Trez can't say it. But it's not that simple. I let him apologize. I fine him, which the NBA hasn't done yet, but I don't suspend him. How about you?
So what is the, what, did he get fined at all?
Nope.
Yeah, he should have been fined. He should have been fined. And introducing race in any of these, as any sort of pejorative is just a terrible, terrible idea. And as far as I'm concerned, Montrezl Harrell should be fined, but shouldn't miss a game. He did make peace. He did apologize. And I love what Seth Curry said yesterday after the game. He said, that's a bad-ass white boy.
Yeah, and apparently Seth said something very similar to Paul George.
But those guys,
yeah, but those guys are both black, so it didn't get as much attention.
Yeah.
And they have some personal history between the two of them. But I'm just, I hated that the NBA threw Kristaps Porzingis out of that first game.
Yeah.
I hate seeing players get suspended. I would only suspend them if I absolutely had to. And I think in this case, a fine sends the message and you don't need to suspend him. But it's not an easy answer. It's a hard question that you asked.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, and there you have the scoop, all the stuff that we hadn't gotten to yet. Coming up next for you, we will get to Game 4, Lakers versus the Portland Trailblazers. 4 o'clock is pregame, 6 o'clock is tip, right here on the home of the Lakers, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. So I'm trying to get in to be a virtual fan for the Lakers-Blazers game tonight, John. I do not know how to operate Microsoft Teams, whatever the hell that is. Why isn't everybody doing Zoom at this point?
You might be out.
I mean, I don't understand it. Is it not good for Apple? Does Microsoft Teams not work for Apple?
I don't know the answer to that because I'm not an Apple guy.
I need somebody.
I think you need to make sure that you use a Microsoft browser like Internet Explorer. That's probably what your problem is.
Yeah, just try that.
I'll try it. I'll try it. It's I'm now listed as questionable, like Rajon Rondo. I'm not doubtful. He's doubtful, right?
No, he was active for the last game, but he had back spasm in warm-up, so he didn't play. I would say he is. There's doubtful, questionable, and probable, right?
Yeah.
I would say he's questionable.
Yeah, that's what I am, questionable to get onto Microsoft Teams and be able to be a virtual fan, unless this guy Ryan Gallivan helps me. Do you know him?
Yeah, I sent him an email. He might help you. He's a good guy.
Yeah. No, he seems like it. He just sent me a bunch of gobbledygook and told me to freaking figure it out.
I'm guessing you're the only one who's having problems with this.
I probably am. Scott Kaplan's already in the game. George is already in the game. They're already there. Exactly.
Hey, can I give you something to watch for game 4 tonight?
Let's break down
this game in a ridiculously simplistic way.
Let's do it.
All right. In game 3 on Saturday night, the Lakers made 39 of 78 from the field. Okay. 39 of 78. Now, I know you don't like math.
I'm not good at it.
That is exactly 50% from the field. Exactly.
Okay.
Including the regular season, the Lakers are now 28-0 when they make at least half their shots. 28-0. And a lot of those shots were two-pointers. You know, they didn't light the world on fire from three, but they made enough where they were able to kind of hand the game over to their defense. So as you're watching the game tonight, keep an eye on the shooting percentages. The Lakers in that game, 50% overall and 33% from three. They were 10 of 30. But when they make half their shots or better, undefeated, 28-0. Yeah. So that's something to keep an eye on tonight.
And they shot okay. They shot basically, wasn't it 33% or 30%?
Yeah, that's what I just said, 10 of 30.
Yeah, they missed a bunch of free throws.
Which was brutal. They yeah. missed more free throws in that game than they've missed in any game this year. But you know what was good is they got to the line a ton. The 15 misses were the most they've had in any game this year. But they had 31 attempts in the first half. That's the most attempts in a playoff half by any team in the league since 2018.
Right.
That's the most free throw attempts in the postseason by a Lakers team since 2009.
Boy, that's a saucy stat right there.
Right. So they're getting to the line. They just got to make them. And guys that are normally really good from the line, like Anthony Davis is an 85% free throw shooter.
Yep.
AD in that game, 7 of 14. From the free throw line. Frank Vogel made them all hang around and shoot free throws after the game. Did you hear about that?
No. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. All right, so you want a saucy stat? I got a saucy one.
Sure.
Okay. So yesterday, Dodgers-Rockies at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers beat them 11-3, hit 7 home runs. Here you go. Corey Seager, homer on the 8th pitch.
Okay.
Mookie, homer on the 42nd pitch, 8:42. Kike, homer on the 62nd pitch, Kobe's 67 points versus the Mavs. And Cody's 8th home run and his 24th hit overall. And the Dodgers won 11-3. That is a win by 8 runs.
Okay, the one thing that didn't make sense was the second thing you said. You said 8:42. Did you mean to say 8:24?
I'm sorry, 8:24. Yeah, 8:24.
Huh. Yeah, if you're into numerology, that's a hard
All on Kobe's birthday.
Right. Kobe's birthday was yesterday, and then Kobe Day is today because it's 8:24 today.
Yeah. By the way, people rushing to my assistance on Twitter about Microsoft Teams.
What, anything helpful so far?
Reboot. Isn't that basically always the
Isn't
advice?
Isn't that the answer to anything you don't know the answer to?
Why don't you just reboot?
Buy
just
a new computer?
Yeah, we used to have a trainer when I was in high school. And anytime anybody got hurt, we nicknamed this guy Whirlpool. Because you would say to him, "Hey, I think I broke my leg." And he'd go, "Whirlpool, hop in the Whirlpool." Yeah, I have an open gash on my forehead.
Whirlpool.
Go Whirlpool. For you, reboot.
Reboot. Reboot.
Reboot that thing.
By the way, this is a major announcement for me personally and in my race against Greg Bergman. John, I've officially done it. I have given up sugar.
Oh, God.
Oh, God me.
That's like you saying
I'm really going to do it.
Do you know how hard that is? Because I started doing that a week ago, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life by far.
No, I'm doing it.
It's so hard.
By the way, if I'm Bergman,
yep,
I'm sending you a box of donuts tonight during
sure.
the game.
I will not. I will not touch donuts. I will
How
not.
How long have
it's
you
over.
Gone without sugar?
Since yesterday. This is the first day.
Of the show.
This is the first day.
Well, tomorrow's the worst day. The 48-hour mark is the worst
Lindsay,
day.
Lindsay, this
me.
Is when he says he's going to give up weed, and then he'll do it for like a day, and then afterwards he'll go, "Well, I slip back into it, but only for one day."
Just one day.
Sugar is the most addictive thing in the world. They say it's more addictive than cocaine, heroin,
really?
All those crazy drugs. Oh, yeah. Trust me.
No, sugar's not as addictive as cocaine.
Yes, it is. That's the receptors in your brain that it activates make it more addicting, and the reward whatever system in your brain. Makes
I think
it more
that's
addictive.
Made up BS.
No, it's not. There's a whole documentary about it on Netflix.
That reminds me, Lindsay. I'm changing subjects on you guys, but I have a favor to ask you. What, Lindsay? What time do you normally go to sleep at night? Early or late?
Pretty early.
Oh, you might not be my answer. So, Mace, you know we have the draft coming up for the Hollywood Football
yes,
League.
Yes, we do.
That's the Fantasy Football League. Mason and I have been in with a bunch of Hollywood muckety-mucks. We've been in it for like 20 years. this is the first time ever that I could have a Laker game on the night of the draft.
Oh!
So I need someone to draft for me. And Lindsay, I was going to ask you to do it because I think it would be a good bit for the show.
I'll do
but
it.
The problem is, you're already in it. You have to.
I can do it. I mean, I can stay up if I need to.
Here's the thing: the draft starts at 10 o'clock your time, 7 o'clock my time.
I can stay up for that.
And by the way, John takes this so seriously.
Like, I do.
He does mocks beforehand. He just logs on and does mocks.
I'll have your friend Jeff Phelps help me because he's a draft guru.
And Lindsay, I will send you very specific instructions, but then really it comes down to how the draft unfolds that you have to have the – I know you'll outsmart Mason. That's why we call him last place Mace.
Oh, this
but
is
there's
my
a
year.
Bunch of sharks in this league that are going to try stuff that – you know, to undermine us.
This is my year, John.
The draft is so important, Lindsay, that if we win, and I've won 5 years in a row, I've won money. If you finish in the top five, you get money. If I win, I will give you a cut if you draft me a good team. So that's your incentive to stay up late.
And if you draft a bad team, there will be no cut to give you.
Yeah, well, if you draft a bad team, I have to pay, but I'll pay all losses.
Okay.
You won't have to worry about that.
You have all upside. Upside.
Except you have to stay up past your bedtime on this one night.
It does seem weird, though, that they're doing, like right now, the 24-hour fantasy football marathon. Is it 2 weeks away?
Three.
Weeks away.
20 days. Today's the 24th. The season starts on the 3rd. No, Mace. It starts on a Thursday night. I've been thinking it starts on that Sunday.
Yeah, it starts on a Thursday night.
So it actually starts 12, 11, 10 on the 9th. Yeah, it's closer to 2 weeks. It's 16 days away.
And the draft is on the 8th. Our draft is on the 8th. I'm going to start prepping on the 8th.
That's par for the course, as they would say, for you. Now, normally what you take some absurd position, like you're going to take all running backs.
I'm going to take all running backs.
Quarterbacks or all wide receivers.
All running backs.
Last year, stacking up running backs.
I got Christian McCaffrey with the number one pick.
Last year, I didn't take a running back until the sixth round, and I finished in the money again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's very little difference between
running backs.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
Right, that's the expression.
All right, we will see the results. Lindsay is my new partner, and the draft is on the 8th.
All right. Coming up next, we got Radio Tinder, by the way, at 2:40, and we got Michael Wilbon coming up at 3 o'clock. So really, really big show. Don't forget, pay attention to everything we say. Something's going to be on the quiz that will happen on Friday at 3:15, a chance to win a brand-new Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda, John Patterson, great dude, and beautiful, beautiful ride that you got a chance to win. And if you win on Friday, you've got a key. There are only going to be 4 keys when this is over. So win on Friday, you got a 25% chance of winning a brand new car. By the way, I came to a conclusion over the weekend, John, watching a lot of Dodger baseball.
What's the conclusion?
I will tell you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday. It's Kobe Bryant Day, 8:24. And tonight, the Lakers will be wearing the Mamba jerseys as they take on the Portland Trail Blazers in Game 4 of their Western Conference opening round playoff series. The Lakers dominated Portland on Saturday night, particularly with a phenomenal defensive performance on C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard, of course. Held him to 28 points in the fourth quarter, and it was activate playoff LeBron. He was spectacular on Saturday.
His best game of the series. And if you look at the numbers for C.J. and Dame, you would think, well, what is Mason talking about? Those guys lit the Lakers up. That was in the first half. Lillard and McCollum were killing the Lakers, and in the fourth quarter, the Lakers just locked up Dame. He went 1 for 6, missing all 4 three-pointers. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, the Lakers are holding the Blazers under all the numbers they've been piling up in the seeding games. It's a statistically dominant defensive performance by LA, and we'll see if they can keep it going tonight. Now, you were mentioning something you noticed about the Dodgers, who have been winning left, right, and sideways.
You know what, John? I think we've got to come to terms with this. The Dodgers are a super team. They really are a super team. They are so friggin' loaded. Like, for example...
Well, in order to be a super team, though, wouldn't they have to have more than one or even one all-star pitcher? Do they have one?
Yeah, Clayton. Kershaw's been great. And Buehler threw a two-hitter the other night.
Right. But if the All-Star game started today, Kershaw would be in the
He'd be an All-Star, yeah.
Okay.
He's been great so far. And like Tony Gonsolin, who had a great game last week, they don't even have room for him. He's back at the side camp.
Yeah.
Wherever they send everybody else,
I think it's at USC.
Yeah, I mean, they've got so much depth that Tony Gonsolin, who would be a third starter for a lot of teams, is at their workout camp. Is part of their extra group. And I think you're starting to see the offense have come alive. 7 home runs yesterday. Mookie Betts has been, I'll be honest, better than advertised. He is now batting .300 with 10 home runs, just one off the National League lead, with 28 RBIs and an MVP candidate. And Cody Bellinger is starting to come around, has 4 home runs in his last 5 games. You get Betts and Bellinger going, forget it. Forget it. And the bullpen has been excellent. The bullpen has been great. Kenley Jansen, I think he's 8-for-8 now in save opportunities. Scott Alexander, been a totally solid setup guy. Brewster Graterol, really fun to watch. Caleb Ferguson has been excellent. Dylan Floro's been great. And Blake Treinen has been unbelievable. They really have put together a hell of a bullpen. This is a team that, and again, no guarantees. You know, it's very possible that in a 3-game series, the Dodgers could be eliminated. It's very possible in a 3-game series, the Yankees could be eliminated. I would much rather see those be at least 5-game series in the first round. 3 games, anything can happen. But if the Dodgers get through that 3-game series, I think they go straight to the World Series.
Oh, I think they're the favorites, right?
Oh, hands down favorites. In Vegas, I don't know who the favorite is, the Yankees or the Dodgers, but it's got to be one of them.
And there's going to be so many teams in the playoffs this year that it's even a more of an anything can happen year.
Yeah, you know? So many teams. I was just looking at who the Dodgers' first round matchup would be. This is why this can go wrong. The Dodgers' first round matchup would be against. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, we wouldn't know, right? Because the Dodgers would have a first-round bye.
No first-round bye. Everybody plays in the first round.
So they'd play the 8.
Yeah, they'd play the 8. They'd play Colorado in the 8. Colorado is the 8 right now, the team they just took 3 from. And, you know, you never know. Colorado in the 3-game series, they throw Herman Marquez and Kyle Freeland, and they both come up big, and all of a sudden the Dodgers are down 2. I mean, it's a 3-game series is such a crapshoot. Baseball is already a crapshoot. The most talented team doesn't win the World Series necessarily. Last year, the Nationals, I would argue, were not the most talented team, but they did win. In a 3-game series, you've increased the randomization of the playoffs. And so, but I'll tell you what, this Dodger team, this is the best Dodger lineup I have seen in my lifetime.
Well, and Bellinger's not even hitting yet.
Now, Bellinger has 4 homers in his last 5 games, so he's now started to lock in, which makes them scary. But, people are saying Gonsolin should replace Stripling in the rotation permanently. Yeah, I mean, they're all there. They're all there. Strip has been shaky at times. But I'm telling you, that team, they are going to win, let's see, they're going to win 35 games, 35-15. That's where I got them now. Where do you got them?
Well, if they do that, then I would win our bet. Because I bet.
Padres got super hot.
And won 30 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be surprising.
It would be surprising. Yeah, I mean, that would mean you win the bet. And I will happily lose that bet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the... That's the whole thing. I mean, I'm rooting against myself. Padres are four games back of the Dodgers now. And Fernando Tatis Jr. probably is the National League most valuable player. It's either Fernando Tatis Jr. or it's Mookie Betts. One or the other. Dodgers 22-8, Padres 18-12. Padres have the second best record in the league.
And they they've got this weird thing where they hit grand slams every game.
Yeah. No, he is an unbelievable player. If I was Major League Baseball, I would be marketing Fernando Tatis Jr. He loves the game. He loves playing the game. He's got a great big smile. He's unbelievably talented, plays a high-impact position like shortstop, and just bangs for power. Those opposite field home runs are boomers for Fernando Tatis Jr. So I think probably right now Tatis Jr. is the MVP with Mookie running second. But we're only halfway home. And by the way, think about that. We are exactly one half through the baseball season.
Already?
Yep, one half through the baseball season. The Dodgers are, they're 22-8, 30 games. Yeah, we're almost done.
Wow.
The playoffs are almost here.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. We're going to go through a really fun stretch because I tell you, I think the Dodgers, I'm ready to proclaim it. This is their year.
Oh, not again.
Yeah.
This is their year. You've proclaimed that each of the last 3 years. And
this is the year, people. This is the year. It is a super team, I tell you.
Oh,
a
no.
Super team. We got guys down on the farm who'd be third starters around the league.
Oh, good. Michael Wilbon is coming up at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And Mace, I'm watching while our show's going on. Houston's playing Oklahoma City.
Yes.
The Lakers are going to play, assuming the Lakers win the first round, the Lakers are going to play the winner of this series. It's going to be Houston. And I know you don't have as much faith in the Rockets as I do. I think the Rockets have a puncher's chance of winning the whole thing. But I just noticed something that Houston does that I've never fully realized until now.
Yep.
I'll tell you what it is coming up.
All right. And I want to just, because this is blowing up now on Twitter. John, I said the Dodgers would finish 35-15. That equals 50 games.
Oh, that's right. And they're playing 60.
So, you are better than
my prediction, 35-15, unlikely to be right.
Well, it does.
Unlikely to be correct.
But it doesn't mean they won't be 35-15 at one point.
At one point, right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but I missed it by a couple. all right, coming up next for you, Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff to throw at us. Then Michael Wilbon at the top of the hour. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Swipe left, swipe right. All right, here we go, and it's time for Radio Tinder. We'll let you know that Michael Wilbon is coming up for you at 3 o'clock, so make sure you stay there. In the meantime, Linz has got some stuff for us. Linz, what do you got?
Well, we're going to start with a story that kind of involves Kobe Bryant Day. A cast member of Storage Wars claims to have discovered a treasure trove of Kobe Bryant's personal memorabilia in his storage unit. The unit was auctioned off to a buyer for $375 and then sold to Renee Nizzotta, made famous on Storage Wars, for $13,000. Now Nizzotta says he thinks he could sell everything, including the 35 pairs of sneakers, and practice jerseys, and a fur coat for three times that price. Of course, Nizzotta reached out to Bryant's widow, Vanessa, to see if she wanted any of the kids' jerseys or sneakers that presumably belonged to her four daughters. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, have you ever come across some type of unfound treasure trove of any kind? Swipe left or swipe right?
Unfound treasure trove. I'm going to swipe right. So I found in my grandmother's stuff a diary of my Aunt Mary. And I mean a diary that explains every single thing that has happened in her entire life. And it
really?
Is fascinating.
Wow.
It is fascinating. Like, it goes back to her husband, my Uncle Al, who basically was a stalker. he would park outside her house.
Yikes.
And he would wait for her to come out and follow her to where she was going. She basically married this stalker and detailed the entire thing. It's fascinating. So I would say that is the treasure trove that I've uncovered.
I haven't. I can't think of anything. When you ask that, I'm racking my brain to say, have I ever come across something that didn't, that I had forgotten about or didn't think of? But Lindsay, I'm holding out hope that it's not too late. I never throw anything away. I'm kind of a de facto hoarder.
You're a pack rat?
And then once a year, I'll go through and clean everything out and wonder why the hell I held on to it and then throw it away. But so I've got a shot. Just because I tend to hang on to a bunch of stuff.
I actually recently came across one. My grandpa died. It was about 2 years ago now. And when he passed away, and you know, my mom was going through all his stuff and everything, she found a box of coins. And it was, you know, like he traveled a lot, so it had all kinds of currency from different countries. And she was just like, here, you know, I know you collected, you collect stuff, your grandpa and you collected stuff when you used to travel together, so I'm going to give this to you. And it had like 6 gold coins in it, and my mom had no idea what they were. And, you know, I told her, and obviously I still have them because the price of gold just keeps going up and up and up, but it's a whole box of all these coins. And as far as I'm aware, the gold coins are the only ones of value, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little bit of something. Jorge, what about you? Any buried treasures?
No, I'm a hoarder myself, but no, I'm still yet to find something.
Someday it'll pay off. Someday it'll pay off. Hoarding. Hoarding always pays off. No, they're always really mentally balanced people, people with boxes up to the ceiling in their house. All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right. Earl Thomas's short stint with the Ravens came to an end over the weekend after video surfaced of the safety throwing a punch on fellow defensive back Chuck Clark at a team's practice. While there were a lot of rumors about what actually happened, Baltimore decided to cut Earl Thomas, citing his behavior being detrimental to the team. And according to Michael Silver of NFL Network, the all-pro safety's behavior stretched further than just the one incident. Apparently, it included Thomas being late for a team practice last year because he had to get his car washed. Have you guys ever tried to use a really lame excuse to miss work or an important commitment? Swipe left or swipe right?
I can't think of me doing that, but I think the Earl Thomas story is fascinating because he can still really play. But the question is, Mace, I think, and tell me if I'm connecting dots that aren't there. So Earl Thomas is a key member of the Seahawks secondary.
Yeah.
With that Legion of Boom defense that was so good that went to back-to-back Super Bowls and probably would have won 2 in a row had Pete Carroll given the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Sure.
Instead, they went 1-1. And then so they don't give him a long-term contract. He breaks his leg at the end of his run with the Seahawks, and as he's been being carried off the field, he gives the middle finger to Pete Carroll, and then they just let him go. His contract had expired. He goes to Baltimore. He had a weird incident in which his wife threatened to shoot him because she found him and his brother in bed with another woman. Then this thing happens where he goes to Baltimore. Baltimore was the best team in the league last year. They went 14-2. You have to think he had something to do with that and why their defense was so good. Remember, they traded for Marcus Peters, so they had this all-pro secondary. I think Thomas has made 5 or 6 Pro Bowls. And now he gets in a fight with a member of his own team and his own leadership council, the guys on the team, if you read Peter King's column this morning,
right,
voted to throw him off the team. They didn't want him around. They sided with the other guy in the fight. I'm wondering, Thomas is a great player. This reeks of Antonio Brown, doesn't it? Is it possible that Thomas has CTE?
I don't want to speculate about CTE with anybody, but I will say, you know, I heard the guys this morning on Get Up, I think it was Mike Tannenbaum and guys like that, saying Earl Thomas just isn't that good anymore. He's into his 30s now, and he's not the player that he was, and that makes him easily cuttable. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate CTE.
But I'm saying it's such, like Marcellus says, he thinks the majority of players in the NFL have it. This behavior reminds me of Antonio Brown, a great player who makes really questionable off-the-field decisions. And you wonder, why would he do that consistently when he knows he's... Like, if you look at the Seahawks and the Ravens, Those are two of the most respected front offices in all of football. If you can't make it work there, the Seahawks are pretty tolerant of, you know, behavior off the field. Like they had Michael Bennett for a long time. They let their players speak their minds. The Ravens are generally considered a players first organization. John Harbaugh is a players first coach. If you get kicked out of those two organizations, that's not good.
John, as Mike Brown once said, you will be tolerated until you can be replaced.
Yeah, that's going on here.
And that's what's happening. I
hope he doesn't. Lindsay, what do you think?
I mean, I hope it's not shades of Antonio Brown, because we all know what happened to him. Such a great player just to completely fall off the map over, you know, a season, really. It just, that was pretty crazy. So I hope that's not the case.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not sure if Antonio Brown will ever play again. My guess is Earl Thomas will, because now he's getting paid by the Ravens and you can sign him cheap. He really, really wants to play for the Cowboys. He went to the University of Texas where he was a really good player. My guess is Jerry Jones could roll the dice, although Jay Glazer says it probably won't be the Cowboys. The team that was really interested in Thomas before he signed with the Ravens was Kansas City.
Hmm.
So the Chiefs could take a flyer on him. But I hope everything's okay with him, because he's a really good player when he was in Seattle in the early years.
Well, back to my question, May, since John doesn't have any bad excuses that he used to miss work or an important commitment, do you?
I have absolutely never used a bad excuse to get out of work.
Or you just don't want to say them on the radio.
No. You know what I say? I say mental health day. I need a mental health day. Now, I believe I'm a strong proponent of mental health. I believe sometimes people just need a day. And I've taken those days multiple times over the years. And so, I've never used a bad excuse. My excuse is always mental health day.
I don't think that's a bad excuse at all. All right, one more really quick before we break for Michael Wilbon here.
Yeah.
A Krispy Kreme employee made a TikTok video showing what 25 layers of glaze look like on a donut, because, let's be honest, we were all kind of wondering, right?
Yeah.
TikTok user Jack Paul Jones explained the thought process behind the whole thing, saying, well, it was a slow day at work. We decided it was time to experiment. We wanted to find out how many times we could glaze a donut. So each clip on his TikTok page shows the donut getting put under the glaze fountain over and over and over, and then it slowly became less and less recognizable as a donut, and it just looks into one solid white sugary mess. Something that, Mason, I think you might enjoy. Would you ever try this disgusting 25-time glazed Krispy Kreme donut?
Well, I mean, obviously, I've given up sugar as of today, so I couldn't do it. But if it was yesterday, I would have happily glaze is the most delicious part of a donut. Cream that goes into it. Vanilla cream is delicious. I like the icing, the sweet, the super sweet. I got an unbelievable sweet tooth. So, yeah, I would, but I can't anymore because I've given up sugar.
Okay. John?
I'm not a donut guy, but Mason's contention that he has given up sugar, I predict, will last less than a week. Yeah, next Monday.
I give him a day.
Next Monday, Lindsay, remind me to bring it up, and we'll see how that's going.
Oh, next Monday. Make a note. Send me a calendar invite there, Lindsay. I am going to make an announcement next Monday that I haven't had any sugar in a week.
There's no way. Not happening.
Send me one of those stupid calendar invites you send us all the time.
Okay.
Lindsay, it's like Lindsay Theory is going to be on today, and I get a calendar invite. I don't need her on my iCal calendar. Just don't send me those things anymore.
She doesn't
that,
anymore.
Lindsay? You hear that, Lindsay Theory? Mason doesn't want you on his calendar.
There you go.
That's right.
Invited to her wedding.
Coming up next for you, Michael Wilbon, the great Michael Wilbon, will join us. We'll talk some NBA playoffs with him. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.